Grab your coffee and join Marlena Curtis right now for Let's Talk Coffee and Everything in Between with MK Spices here on Access Radio Taranaki.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Nā mahere mai to MK Spice, a rather nice Marlena's Kitchen, introducing Let's Talk Coffee and Everything in Between on Access Radio Taranaki. Now, the wonderful thing about this community is that we all have something to say. All of us have something different to say, which is absolutely fabulous. Now, I've been here for quite a while, and what I love meeting people, and I love meeting people who have like mind. I love meeting creators. I love people who literally put their heart and soul into our community. And I have one of those amazing, amazing people with me today. His name is Daniel Fleming, young, young man. Eye candy. Am I allowed to say that, producer? My husband's not listening.
You go to Specsavers.
And it's the heart always shines through the eyes. I see that. So first of all, I'd like to welcome you, Daniel. Welcome to my show.
Thank you, Marlena. Thanks for having me.
And thank you so much for giving up your time. I know you're exceedingly busy, 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 busy person, of course. Yeah, that's how you get ahead, right?
Never too busy for these things.
So I would like to ask you, what's your favourite coffee?
I'm always a traditional flat white man. There's something about it. It's funny. And I've you know, you try and get out there and try something different, but I just love a good New Zealand coffee. And I tell you what, you really appreciate a Taranaki flat white when you go overseas and you try and find these big filtered coffees and everything. You come back and think, gosh, the coffee that we have locally and in New Zealand is pretty exceptional. So a good Kiwi flat white hits it every time for me.
And I do concur with you there. I just come back from Japan, World Athletic Championships was amazing, watching Hamish Kerr win gold.
Incredible.
Again. Yay!
Yeah, wow.
But what I noticed was that we were in Tokyo and there wasn't that many coffee shops. They're more into tea and food.
Yes, yeah, true.
They eat a lot.
Yeah.
Thin as twigs, but they eat a lot.
Yeah.
They do walk a lot. Everywhere you go is a hill. But I noticed that it was very hard to get a decent coffee.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, it is. It's difficult, isn't it?
And I hadn't noticed that before. I don't think I've been... I mean, I love coffee. I'm always writing about coffee. The show's all about coffee. But what I have to say and what I do love is I was in Elixir, I think, the other week, and there's like 900 people in there, as always. And what I really enjoyed was that before, I think I'd only just sat down, I'd handed my order in, and it was out.
Yeah.
And you're like going, wow, they're like little ninjas. Overseas, I could have taken a nap.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like, and what I love also is the smiles. The coffee culture, as probably you've probably noticed, over especially, I would even say the last 7 to 10 years has changed dramatically. When I first came from the UK, I wasn't really, drinking that much coffee. There wasn't really that many places, was there?
No, that's right. And I think the change for coffee is not just about the coffee. Yeah, the caffeine's great and it gives you a kickstart, but actually it's more than that for me. It's actually the chance to have a little bit of me time. It's a chance to change the scenery, get out of the office and have just that little bit of peace. And I think coffee brings that. And for me, it's funny, isn't it? Peace for everybody is different. Like I get peace from nature, from the mountains and the beaches, and that's why we love Taranaki. But also just that peace of connection and people. And like you, Marlena, you get your energy from people. I'm the same. Definitely an extrovert, although some parts of me think there's definitely some introvert pieces as well. But going out for a coffee, having a chat with a barista or the team, getting that smile, having a chat, that gives you a bit of a boost for the day along with the caffeine.
It really does. And what I love is that every barista, and I always make a point because with all due respect, not everywhere makes good coffee, let's be honest.
That is right, yeah.
And I go to same sort of similar places that it's consistency because I haven't got that much energy. I like to go in, get what I need, and it's always, but you know what I do say? I look them in the eye when I've had my first sip.
Yeah.
And I will say, thank you.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic coffee. And I think people, when you're listening, you need to hear this. Thank you. In the UK, we called it P's and Q's. That's how I was raised. Mm. Please and thank yous. Look them in the eye. It's no point in chatting to your friend and saying thank you. They can't hear you. It's a wasted thank you. That word thank you is an empowerment.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I remember that from my granddad. And granddad was, he was actually an All Black in Ross Brown, so he did a lot of great things with rugby back in the day. And I always remember granddad used to do a really firm handshake and he'd say, Zambuga, look him in the eye. And that was this thing, you know, eye contact, firm handshake, respect for everybody, right? You know, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, you know, what job you've got, we're all the same. And I think that just remembering those things, I always remember that from granted around just the acknowledgement, the eye contact and a firm handshake.
Exactly.
It's important, you know, and it's not hard to do.
It's something that you just pass on, which is a positive. It's a wonderful feeling. When I get a thank you, it's like, oh, or when I get a compliment and people say, oh, you must have thousands. Yes, but it's not the same from everybody.
Yeah, and a genuine compliment is different too, isn't it? When people sincerely mean it and they it's really coming from the heart. And it's interesting, those simple things like you say, Malene, around like the manners. Our boy just turned 3 last week on Friday, and we're really proud of him for many things, as all parents are. We're all proud of our kids. And even though sometimes the little tears, you're still like this 99%, you're like, woohoo! But he is a beautiful boy, he really is. And some of the things we're most proud of is when he says, thank you and you're welcome and some of those things, and that melts your heart. So it's the simplest things, isn't it? And just those basic manners that we've tried to embed into him just become good practice. And I think we can all learn from some of those 3-year-olds, can't we?
Exactly. And I would like to thank you and your partner, your wife, just to say thank you for raising the next generation. And people who don't have children or not around children, or they may have grown and I don't know how you can forget, but thank you, because it's not easy.
Thank you. I think all the thanks is to my wife. She's done all the hard work.
So thank you to Daniel's wife. What's her name?
Nadana. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nadana.
Yeah, I think that's another thing as well. I thank everyone that comes on the show. My producer will tell you, Elena Williams Media. She will tell you that I say thank you because when you've been through it and you're out the other side and you raise them in a certain way, you get that all back. That beautiful, what you've sown in comes back, and it goes into our community. So we have to say thank you to people who are raising, because that's the next generation coming up behind the generation that we've raised.
I agree, and it's hard work being a parent, but it's the most rewarding thing in the world. It's the most incredible thing in the world. It's interesting bringing that back to hospitality and into the hotel world as well, because there's something to be said about like these manners and just the approach. And I mean, we see it from our side, obviously with King Queen Hotel, and the people that really genuine and lovely people are the ones that you'll do everything for, and you'll you know, where you can, you'll look after them and upgrade, or you do something or you know, prioritize this and that for them, and you'll do anything for them. The people that come in and that, oh, me, I want this or this, and they're just grumpy from the start. You just, I know that my team, like, they'll still do as much as they can because it's the services
of course,
the blood, but definitely the nicer person is going to get the good stuff. So it's just simple things, isn't it, that, you know, you take that for having your morning coffee. If you're just lovely to people, and that's just a general good philosophy, and we're all just, you know, kind and have good manners and do those things, and not fake it, but be real about how we're doing it and be genuine who you are, then I think we're all a better place as a result of that.
Exactly, yeah. And I think service is a huge thing. I mean, I travel all over the world, as most people know, and I travel all over New Zealand, and, you know, one of my favourite places to stay is the King and Queen. You know,
oh,
that.
Thank
I've been
you.
There
yeah.
so
yeah,
many
so
times.
Kind, yeah.
I spend, if I'm not overseas and I'm celebrating something special like an anniversary, a birthday, New Year's, whatever, I will make the effort, even though it's just up the road, and I will pretend I'm somewhere else.
Yeah, thank you. And we get that a lot, like this week. We have a handful of locals that are staying, and there was a couple yesterday that checked into the hotel and asked them how far away they'd travel, and they said, oh, just from Maryland's. And they said that their intention was to go to Auckland, but their flight got cancelled, so they said, well, stuff that, we're not going back home. We've got, you know, like, kids are sorted, the house is all tidy, we're going to book in. So they just booked in last minute to King and Queen, and then they fly today to Auckland. So they just, like, the holiday started, and they were like, oh, this is great. So
that is just so cool. But that's a testament to you and your staff there as well. So I'd just like to ask you, how hospitality and why?
Yeah. So I've always been a bit of a hotel geek. I don't know why. I have always had this love of people. And I think that probably comes back to family as well. My mum's been always a big people person, and lots of people that have inspired that. But I just love people. And then also, I really love business. And I always thought, after I went to New Plymouth Boys High, an incredible school there, and I always thought that I'd go off and maybe do something in the commerce world, business, you know, maybe an accountant or maybe even a lawyer. But more so kind of in general sort of business management. But then they had this hotel school here, the Pacific International Hotel Management School, PIMS, on the doorstep. And I suppose part of that was actually, wow, the opportunity's right here. Hotels, incredible. And from when I was 12, I went out there to have a tour around of the school, and I think that was it. I was like, I'm sold. This is what I want to do, and I want to be a hotel manager. And I've been doing that. I'm 37 now, so there you go, do the math. I tell you, I've been doing it for a long time, and I still love it. And it's an incredible industry because it just combines my love of people. We're a really interesting, exciting business that's always changing. You know, we've got obviously all the service-related elements to what we do, but also there's this property piece and asset management and projects and, you know, big team and all these things that combine, and the good smell of coffee and the food that comes around. And our model is really unique because we just are involved with King & Queen Hotel, but all of the restaurants and bars around us are owned by different people or through a co-ownership model, which means that the guests get to experience 8 incredible restaurants and bars, but everybody runs them independently. So it's sold as a collective, but actually everyone is really incredible what they do. So from Coffee at Ozone to Meals at Social Kitchen to everything Snagamus, White's, Monica's and Frederick's, we just work as one team to deliver on that. So it's quite a unique model, but it's a very successful model as well. You don't have to do everything, be everything to everybody, but you just have to work with your community and partnership to have great results.
Yeah, I think that's really true, Daniel. I think that people who come in and want to make a fast buck, don't get me wrong, it is about the money, otherwise we're not going to survive. But it's about how you interact with our community. I've noticed what I call revolving doors, where companies come in and they don't understand how Taranaki runs, how New Plymouth runs, Hararoa, Stratford. Every business area is run differently. When I was working for Barticard and I went to Auckland, they are different again. Yeah. Everywhere is different. And then you have to work out how people move through the community. Mm-hmm. And when you get really well known, like for me being here for a long time, and you know, I mean, I'll ask people anything and they go, oh God, what is she up to now? But whatever she's doing has got to be for the greater good, not
exactly,
for the greater bad.
Exactly.
And that's like with your name. Now, the other thing I wanted to just pick up on was that on LinkedIn, because I see you on there all the time, the same as I am, which is wonderful because you're letting people know what's happening. And I think it's very important that we stay invested in each other and support each other. And you've done a couple of trips overseas and you've been promoting Taranaki, New Plymouth, and you're onto something else from what I could read. Are you allowed to talk about that?
Oh, no, of course. Yeah, the most recent trip was to Australia, to Sydney and Melbourne. And I mean, again, coming back to the local community piece, I think that when you've got a hotel here, it's all right, you can go sell your rooms, do that, but you're not going to do that in isolation if you want to be successful. So we're all about, I suppose, Taranaki first, business community, hotel is part of that. And then hopefully through our community being successful and the businesses around us being successful, then we'll be successful as a result. And that's just a flow-on effect of that. So we're always about waving the flag, come to Taranaki has got to be number one, right? And then come stay at a hotel is number two. So we went over, ventured Taranaki, we pitched to, it was over 100 frontline sellers, so travel agents, think Flight Centre, House of Travel, that sort of stuff, and also to product managers who piece together itineraries. And the traditional experience in New Zealand is that you will find Auckland or Wellington and then you'll go right down the centre of the island or you might go to the East Coast. So what we're trying to do is change people's drive journeys or their flying decisions to come to Taranaki, come to New Plymouth, experience this beautiful place that we know is just incredible between the mountain and the sea and everything in between. And we know we've got it so good, but it's just that exposure. So we paid ourselves to get over there and do that. Venture Taranaki obviously did their own thing and that was open to all operators. But what we're trying to encourage now is, now let's get more of us doing that stuff collectively. And the power of, you know, the collective is incredible. And we've got there's a tourism summit coming up in December, Venture Taranaki putting on. So encourage anyone who's into tourism or looking at maybe doing a little tourism tour business or anything food related or connection to come along to that summit, learn from some credible speakers because we can do great things. And so really over in Australia, you know, it was about getting people thinking about New Plymouth. And the message when we were over there was, wow, thank you for being here. It's the first time we've ever seen Taranaki being represented in Australia before to that market. And we just thought, surely this has happened before. But they said, no, it's the first time. And we'd love to work with you. And we had a booking from a golf group coming while I was still traveling as a result. So it does show that if you think bigger picture and try and do that.
You have to, don't you,
really? It's pretty exciting. Yeah.
So think global.
You have to. And that whole tourism piece is incredibly exciting. Like, if you look at, like, it's such a small industry for Taranaki, where, you know, but we have great, you know, just consistent gains and growth. And so our opportunity is enormous. And through all the changes in the energy sector and all these other industries, tourism is the shining light. I firmly believe that, although it's not going to be a huge economic contributor yet, and it will take a long time to mature, but that means endless opportunity. And if you look at what's happening on the Maunga, and you know, there's that beautiful new Maunganui bridge and new lodge going up and information centre, Pauka Hut, that's just a whole amazing set of new assets up on the mountain, but along with everything else we're doing, it's exciting times ahead, I think, for anyone who's looking at the visit industry.
It is, yeah. And I have an idea, and I always have ideas as
yeah.
And it's been brewing for a while, and there's a few of them, and some of them are easier to bring to fruition than others. Are like a dream, like my spot is a dream, and you dream it. And my dream is to have a place here that is so big. You think of Disney.
Yeah.
I think that's big.
I like it.
Think Disney. And then think also cars. So it's a one-stop shop. It will have the rides that will appeal to everyone because we have the space.
We do.
We have the engineers and all of that, that we could actually have something that big. Splash Planets in Auckland. You've got Te Papa in Wellington. Mm-hmm. We need something of that major here. And also I'm bringing movies here. So the first one's going to be a Bollywood movie. I'm in cahoots with someone now. LinkedIn, wow. Surprise.
Yeah, exciting.
But as you say, it takes time and it takes energy. And I'm getting the next generation and pulling them up. And we're also going to have our own fashion festival featuring our local talent as well as talent throughout New Zealand. I'm very much, incredible, as you know, into promoting local because we have so many local artists here who are starving, absolutely amazing, and we're losing them. We're losing them to overseas, to everywhere else because there's no films being made here. Just think about it. You know, if you look at Wellington and then you look at Auckland, we're better than you guys, sorry. Yeah. Where we are? I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have the space, and we've had films made here, which I've been involved in, and it was just such an honour.
Mm-hmm.
And it moved so smoothly. And everybody got to work. Everybody got paid. And it's bringing people into Taranaki, New Plymouth especially. Sorry, Harrow and Stratford. I love you all, but I'm focusing on where I am,
absolutely,
which is here. So, and then that will help with the hotels. It will help with all the food. It helps with all the industry.
That's a big flow-on effect, isn't it? Yeah, retail, everyone benefits from that.
And so whilst us geniuses, because we are geniuses, are working on in the background, all this tickety-booing along, and you say, right, okay, now I'm ready. Now I'm going to pull the people in. I've got my accountants. Yeah. I've got the directors. Everybody we need is right here at our fingertips. We just have to see the big picture, and then we have to get everyone else in to see that big picture and come into that dream.
Yeah.
We don't have a local TV station anymore. Well, that's another thing that needs to come back because we have the people here to run it.
Yeah, we do. No, we have all the skills, I agree, and I think we have the heart too. So we literally, you know, we're incredible at making things, like the engineers and the trades and everything here. Like, we literally have all that. So we just have to now rethink about if that's not just going to be energy, what are some other things we can use those skill sets for? And it doesn't take much to change the game. Like, so you look at Matamata and Hobbiton. I know that's a world-class film, but it just takes one thing like that. That's become one of the biggest tourist attractions in the country. That's changed your economy completely. It only takes one thing.
That's right.
And so we have enough to just, you know, keep the growth going. But if we want to change the game, a couple of big things like that will completely change it. So bring back Tom Cruise.
Well,
or something similar.
Show of hands was, because it was wonderful getting credit on that, but a lot of my artists worked on Show of Hands. And what I loved was the way they treated everyone with so much respect, from the people that cleaned the floors to the caterers. Yeah. Everybody is a cog in that world.
Oh, they are.
That is really necessary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for us, and you understand that, running the King and Queen, you understand that every cog is important, because if those rooms aren't cleaned, who's wrong? Nobody's going to...
It's the most important thing in the world, and that's why, like, you know, everybody's got that part to play in it. So the team, there's no roles here. We've just got different responsibilities, but we need everything to be successful. And if the room's not the cleanest and best maintained, then what's the point in having a great check-in? So everything's got to be all done in sync, and I really believe that. I love your idea of that sort of theme park idea. I mean, there's the challenge of those things is it's just that investment, isn't it? But, like, I'll tell you what, my family, we're so into theme parks. Like, we were over when we were in Australia, we went to the Gold Coast with some friends after our trip, and we did our 2 days of Movie World and a day at SeaWorld, and we go for it. And my wife's running, and I'm trying to keep up with my son on my shoulders and keep up with her to get on the rides. But it's so much fun. And even in Auckland a couple of weekends ago, we drove up there and did the Twilight Rainbow's End, and we thought, oh, this is so cool. So we're big advocates for that. But there's so many cool things and ideas. And if you look at the livability and the lifestyle, what we have here, we are a great destination for families and destination play, car roll, you know, things like that, incredible. And we have so much on offer, but we can keep on building that, commercializing it, making these into great things. And people will travel for it and will become known for certain things. Movies are the same, events are the same, you know, bringing people here for different reasons. So it's an endless opportunity. It's just going to take a lot of effort, like you say, you know, people like you to kind of get out there and just be brave and try some things and get it going. But pretty exciting.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I think the only thing that will stop us from doing that is if we stop ourselves.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, right? You said you were 12 and you went out to the school and you saw and you were sold.
Yeah, it was.
That was it. That's what I want to do. And that was the same with me with performing. I've always done that. I've always taught without being taught how to teach. And I would just teach my peers how to dance. And that's when it all started.
Yeah, nice.
And I put on my first show when I was 12, and it was for charity at my school.
Yeah.
I did the whole thing. And wow. One of my friends actually found me on Facebook, and she said, do you remember? I said, how can I forget? It was called Top of the Flops.
Yeah.
But if that had been – Britain is a little bit behind the eight ball as well, whereas in America they celebrate their stars. They celebrate. Here we have to come up with that celebration. The feel. It's not that they're better than anybody else. They're doing a job, but they're doing a great job. And when you do a great job, excuse me, I've got a horse today. Excuse me, people. When you do a great job, you should be celebrated.
Yes.
Regardless, you clean, you do a great job, you get celebrated. You get to see people getting celebrated. They have the little pictures up on the wall in the markets. What's the difference with if you're making a film or if you're running a race and you win?
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate.
Absolutely.
Push them up, not down and quash them. It's not going to make them big-headed. All that it does is allow us dreamers. I don't know about you, but I was told in school, you're always dreaming, stop dreaming. I'm so pleased I didn't. Yeah. And I'm so pleased you didn't.
Yeah, that's true. You got to keep them going, don't you?
Well, we're coming to the end of the show now. My producer's just put up a little flag. Daniel, thank you so much for coming in. Very informative. And it's been a pleasure as always. I can't wait to get back and relax at King and Queen.
Well, thanks,
thank
Milena.
You so much.
And thanks for your yummy spices too. We always love that. And honestly, now I have to say, like, we were sold from the first time we got given them, I think maybe from you, again, this beautiful circle of giving. And now I've got rid of all the packet stuff in my house. And my wife, she says, you can't ever open a taco mix again. And we use all your beautiful spices. And it tastes way better. And it's so much nicer. So thank you. You're doing a great job with that business too.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Kakate, everyone. Enjoy your coffee. Sit back, relax. And just remember, you are where you're at. It's exactly where you've put yourself at. Kakite ano.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.